Lord says to the Samaritan woman who's in for me in the church that the time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of the Father will worship Him in spirit and truth. This is the Father seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And this beautiful image that our Lord gives us is occasioned because the Samaritan woman asks this question about, or makes this comment really, that Jesus responds to about where the proper place for worship is. Is it on the mountain that's there in Samaria, or is it on the mountain in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount? We want to worship in the right place because we want to worship where God is. We can build a structure here, there, or anywhere, but if God's not dwelling in it, then what's the point? So where we worship matters a lot. This was the mindset, and this was the occasion in which Jesus said that there's going to come a time when it's not about Jerusalem, it's not about this mountain here in Samaria. So in a way, we're looking for a location. When we hear the phrase worship in spirit and truth, we might think of a kind of a feeling or emotion, attitude, an energy to our prayer. These might be good things. St. Theophan the Recluse talks about this being a good thing, but it's not what our Lord was talking about in this context. And spirit and truth is really has two aspects to it. The first is that it's our own spirit, true and genuine to who we are. Blessed Augustine has a beautiful description of this. He says, so we're called to climb a mountain to pray. What mountain is it? Where do we go look for this mountain? And he tells us it's the mountain that's within us. We ascend the mountain that is our own heart, he says. And there it is that we come to the true temple, the temple where God dwells. And so we go on this inward journey that Father Roman used to speak to us so much about. The ascent to a high place is, as is so often the case in the paradox of the scriptures, a descent into the lowest places of our own inner life. The way up is always downward. And so the location to pray, what Christ brings to the world, is that God is spirit, and He can be and needs to be worshipped in the temple that He created. The temple is the innermost dwelling place of the human being himself. But the Holy Fathers, as they comment on this text, also always say that the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The truth is Christ Himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. It's like in yesterday's Gospel, we had the text Jesus saying, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, referring to Himself. And so, the worship of the Father takes place not only within the deepest recesses of our soul, but it takes place within the embrace of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. Jesus says that He didn't come to glorify Himself, He came to glorify the Father. We come to enter into that communion with the Holy Spirit and the Son to participate in being true worshipers of the Father, genuine. And they're the ones that really, the Holy Spirit, who convicts the world of all unrighteousness, of all the errors of our ways, and they're the ones that reveal to us those things in our lives that are not genuine, that don't belong in the temple, and they're also the ones that somehow cleanse and purify that temple. In the Octus that we say on Sunday mornings, the Lord Jesus Christ stood out to me because of today's gospel reading, so that would be quite distinctly in the sixth ode, we say, Jesus, the truth, destroying fraud. One very simple line. But when we worship in truth, we worship in Jesus, the truth, who destroys all fraud, all inner hypocrisy, all duplicity, all masks, all appearances. So there's no longer needs to be a debate about is this or that the right place to worship. We know that the right place to worship is deep within the recesses of our own soul in communion and in the embrace of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God, the truth, offering ourselves in this created world that God has given us back to the Father, back to its source. That's our calling. We still gather, of course, in temples like this all around the world, gather in homes, because we're a community, because the body of Christ is a community. We're not isolated individuals, but united. And we come together, but we have to come together not with the focus on the place, but with the focus on the geographical place, but the focus on the place in our hearts. There's so many of the Holy Fathers said, especially St. Isaac the Syrian, St. Macarius, Egypt, that when we look inward, we find that all of creation is there in our heart. We're not missing or lacking anything. Now, one more reflection. We should go back to the beginning of what our Lord said when he introduced this phrase. He said, a time is coming and now is when all of this is going to happen. We live in that continual tension of knowing that all of this is given to us and available to us, and yet we somehow still fall short in appropriating it, in embracing it, in setting aside the things that distract us from it. We still live in a fallen world that needs healing, redemption. We'll say a little bit later in the liturgy that God is that he's given us the kingdom which is to come. It's a very strange phrase. We live in the gifts that God's given us, and yet we await for their fulfillment, for their taking over an entirety of our life. We live in the delight and confidence for the gifts of God, and yet the expectation, the anticipation of them coming to fruition in our lives. I think it was Father Alexander Schmemann who often used to say, we live between the already and not yet. We already have all these things, and yet they're not yet fulfilled in us. We can in our lives rest with a certain kind of comfort and confidence that I have all these things. I don't need to do anything. You know, maybe in the next life, all of this will after I die, all of this will come to fruition. There's nothing to sort of strive for, to yearn for. Various Christians have that kind of disposition. Almost an I've already arrived mentality. But this has no correlation with what we read in the Gospels or the Epistles. There's always a yearning, a striving, a pressing on, letting go of the things that are behind and striving for the things that are ahead. Fasting, praying, keeping vigil, buffeting the body. So it's not sufficient that we say all these things have been given to us, I can just sort of rest at ease. A kind of spiritual version of eat, drink, and be merry. But on the other hand, we can become tortured that these things that are supposed to be true of us are not true. We can live in the sense of guilt or discouragement or depression, and all of these things that God offers us and seems to have promised us and we're told has given us, they're not true. Not true of any of us anyways. And we can say, where's the peace that's promised? Where's the joy that's promised? Where's the acts of kindness and love, compassion and patience? I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't have it. So very tangibly and practically, we live in our lives in this tension. And we can't let ourselves slide to one of the other extremes of contentment. We all that we have it in its entirety. There's really nothing more for me to strive for, just to wait until death, and then it'll all be magically transformed. Nor can we live in this state of despair, discouragement, that our lives don't measure up. St. Gregory Palamas says that everything that we need was poured out into our lives in baptism, the way in which a little child conceived and born of his mother. Everything there is present to grow up and become a mature, contributing adult in society. But then he makes it very clear, it's not sufficient for the baby to stay a baby. It needs to be fed and learn how to walk and speak and interact and be kind toward others, work hard and function in the world. And so it is with our spiritual lives, that everything is given to us in our spiritual birth, but we have to grow up spiritually. And just like when we're 5 years old and we're restless to be 15, we have a kind of restlessness to be further along than what we are in our spiritual life. But we can't let it so overwhelm us that we can't enjoy being where we are in our life. God delights right where with us, right where we are. He walks with us on this journey from the what we have now to what is coming. And if we walk with him little by little, continuing to let him bring to fruition those gifts that he's placed in us, then little by little we too will become the true worshipers of the Father, who worship in the depths of our own souls, spirit and truth, in the embrace of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.